Welcome into the second and final hour of a shorty show. Chris Thomas tonight with you till 8 o'clock. We got Corky Kell classic coverage coming your way then, and it will be dry tonight. I felt so bad for those kids, man. I was watching on TV. I was like, I know this game's important, but is it that important? Like, they couldn't snap the damn ball for half the time. Oh, my goodness, that was crazy. I'll never forget, Oren. Little story time before we let you hear this interview with Charlie Warner. I'll never forget this. This just sparked a memory for me. It was my freshman year of football. And what they wanted you to do was, after the freshman season was over, the varsity season went on for a couple extra weeks, with the last game taking place on Thanksgiving Day morning. I'll never forget it. So apparently, like, all the really good players on the freshman team, of which I was not one, I was a starter, but I wasn't great. Like the quarterback, basically all like the hotshot, you know, guys that were going to be varsity next year. They all found out that the coach was getting fired. And they were like, we're not working a couple extra weeks for this dude who's not going to have a job next year anymore. So they all bailed. So it was like me and all of like the backup players, like, you know, the guys that were like I was a starting defensive tackle, but I wasn't very good. So it was like all of us, we were practicing and holding the bags for the varsity. Thanksgiving morning comes after weeks of practicing with the varsity. Now, mind you, the coach wasn't good, but he believed in strength and conditioning. And we would run gassers at the end of every practice, almost the length of the football field. And we were our little freshman legs trying to keep up with the juniors and seniors. It was not a pretty sight. So the game finally comes. Oren, when I tell you on that Thanksgiving morning of 2008, it rained like only I've ever seen here in Georgia in the middle of summer, honestly. Puddles on the field that were 4 and 5 inches thick. Like, our socks, our shoes, completely ruined, had to be thrown out after the game. Jerseys, it was so, and mind you, this was Thanksgiving morning, so it was cold rain that was coming down. It wasn't even refreshing. The icicle water that was coming down on me. And, Oren, I wasn't playing a snap. I wasn't getting in there. I was standing on the sidelines the entire time.
Chilling, literally.
I was a freshman. I wasn't even allowed to play. I had to sit there. And there was no amount of clothing or Under Armour, heat gear, whatever you want to call it, that was keeping my patoot warm. It was absolutely awful. That just reminded me of that, because that's what those kids last night in the Corky Kell were dealing with. It was crazy. All right, let's let you hear from Charlie Warner, tight end for the Atlanta Falcons. He stopped by with the morning shift right here on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Yeah, they definitely, Zach's very creative in how he uses me, and it's a lot of fun to me. You know, it's kind of feels like a mix of tight end, you're doing a lot of moving fullback stuff. You know, just I enjoy it, and I feel like it gives our offense a lot of creativity in the run game.
Let's talk about the process for you to come here. Obviously, you're a Georgia guy, but, you know, I don't know how that goes. Does your agent contact you and say, hey, Atlanta's interested? Obviously, Zach, Raheem, a couple of guys that you're familiar with are headed over here. Had to have been a decently exciting phone call to know that, you know, some interest down here from back from Atlanta.
Yeah, I was, you know, very blessed to have a healthy, solid 4 years in the league at the 49ers. And the hitting free agency was a blessing to have, you know, have options to decide. And, yeah, when the Falcons finally reached out to my agent, was very fortunate to receive a good offer. See you, buddy. I was excited to come back to the team I grew up cheering for. So, yeah. And, yeah, like you said, growing up in Georgia, being a Bulldogs fan, a Falcons fan, definitely an honor and a privilege to come back here.
Well, speaking of that, since you played for UGA, when's the last time you got out to Athens, checked in with the team, checked in with Kirby Smart?
So we used to live in Athens in the off season when I was playing for the 49ers, but since we signed here, I live in Flower Branch and don't go over there as much. But I haven't been to a game since I played, and I didn't go to a practice this year. I went to some last year. We were still living in Athens last year in the off season. But yeah, it's been a while. I need to go back and catch up with everybody. And I got two kids now, so it's getting a little harder. Yeah, I got an infant and a 3-year-old, so
a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, I know they did a special on you on the Falcons.com, right, the YouTube channel, and Kirby Smart sat down for like 40 minutes to talk about you. I mean, I don't think Kirby Smart does that for a lot of people, so you clearly had a really good relationship with Coach Smart.
Yeah, but me and Kirby, I mean, gosh, we both grew together a lot, especially me seeing him as his first year as a head coach and me being the young kid, unconfident kid from a small town. We both kind of grew together, and I feel like especially as I got older, I tried to give him more feedback and just communicate with him towards my junior, senior year, and then kind of just flourish from there a little bit. But yeah, Kirby definitely, he honored me more than he should have. We definitely grew a lot in those early years of him being head coach.
Are you still in touch with Coach Smart? Still kind of touch base with him here and there?
I'll shoot him a text every now and then. Man, he's so busy. We're so busy, you know. I definitely was more in touch, like I was saying, when I lived in Athens. But it's getting a little harder now. But I need to reach out to him.
Joined by Charlie Warner here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 929. And Henry, I'm sorry. And Henry, good-looking boy right there. Man, looks like he might be a fullback or an H-back in his day. He's got linebacker dollar. Yeah, I say that, but my boy is my boy is 5, and I'm like, dude, you don't stand a chance of ever playing a skill position, buddy. He's as thick as it comes. All right, so the Titans are in town. Let's talk a little bit about the chippiness out there at practice today. I think that's what everybody's going to want to talk about coming off this. And you kind of know it builds. I mean, I think we did this five or six years in a row where you have two-day crossovers, right? So the first day, it's like a little bit chippy. The secondary, everybody's watch film. Everybody's position coach is talking trash. Come out here, it gets a little chippy. What was it like inside of some of those scrums today? Is everybody's trying to get separated and keep everybody healthy, but obviously a lot of attitude on the line.
I've never gone to a joint practice where there's not a fight, so I'll say that there's always a fight, especially day two. Usually the traveling team, I mean, sometimes the home team's tired, you know, you just, someone starts, you get tired, you fall on somebody, whatever, you just want to get out of practice. So that's usually what happens, and it happened today, I'd say. I ain't afraid to say it, but yeah, it definitely got bad out there, that one big scrum, especially when you see Mike go down, and that's
what's
not acceptable.
Hey, this Luke, guy's awesome, man. He's a great kid.
Good to see you, Luke. Good to see you. Yeah, when I see a quarterback go down, I'm getting involved. So,
first of all, we keep hearing people say this about you, so I'm glad you're finally you're blue collar like our show. We're a little bit of a blue collar group as well. And look, let's just follow that up a little bit. Have you ever had a quarterback that you've played with that's as chirpy like that? I mean, Penix was letting everybody know on that deep ball to Ray that they made a big connection.
Yeah, no, Mike's dripping with confidence, you know, which I like to see, especially from a young kid, you know, going into year two, only 4 or 5 starts under his belt. Yeah, we definitely feed off Mike, and he's letting it rip out there. I think he had a really good day yesterday. Had to watch the tape on today, but yeah, I think he had a good day again today.
Charlie, you were drafted by the 49ers, and you spent what, 3 or 4 years there with Kyle Shanahan. The Shanahan system, what Zach's running is similar to what McVay ran. All these guys were coaches together at some point. How similar is your role that was at the Niners here with the Falcons so far?
Yeah, it's definitely a little similar. It's, you know, kind of the, like you said, a branch of the Shanahan tree, with some similarities and also with the differences. And I feel like we're kind of talking about earlier, it's kind of a Swiss Army knife role of kind of mixing the traditional fullback with all the motions with traditional tight end. It's just finding the marriage of all that and how they use me with the offense, with the run game, and even with the pass game. So, yeah, it's got its differences and similarities, but it's fun to figure it out and do it with them.
When that light, you know, you're going to shorten somebody's neck every once in a while, but you're also going to make a big catch, maybe a first down or something. Which one has a little bit of sweeter feeling to it? Is it the shorten the neck of a guy or making a big catch for the team?
When it's 3rd and 2 and you're in motion and you widen the 6 technique out and Tyler runs it right behind you for a touchdown, there ain't no better feeling.
We are joined by Charlie Warner live live from Falcons training camp on the morning shift. Who are you rooming with out here?
In our little dorm, it's Nico, I can never say his last name, Kalinic, I think, and then Felipe Franks and KP.
Are you guys all business in there? Are you playing video games, listening to music? What's the vibe?
In the beginning, the first week and a half, we would all hang out until about 10. We had some really good, interesting conversations. And then after that first week and a half, we got so tired. I started getting in bed by 8:30 sometimes. And we live so close now that sometimes I'm trying to get home to put my kids to bed, and then I'll run back real fast for curfew. But we had some energy there in the first bit, and then we've been petering off a little bit. So
a little bit tired now.
I love it, man. We'll go ahead and let you go. You can get back to Henry over there, but appreciate your time. Yeah. That's Charlie and Henry Warner here on the Morning Shift. Thanks so much.
Awesome stuff there from Charlie. He'll be a big part of the offense, doing the dirty work in the trenches, hopefully, while KP is out there making them catches. Coming up next, let's continue our fantasy football bonus coverage here today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I know my draft's coming up soon, and I'm not sure what to do. I'm picking in the middle of the first round. That's what I get for finishing in second place last year. We chatted with Sigmund Bloom earlier. Now we'll get a different perspective. Chad Parsons, under the helmet fantasy, is going to join me next. What does he think about Bijan Robinson? Does he agree with Sigmund, number one overall player? Interesting stuff. Don't go anywhere. Chris Thomas with you till the top of the hour. My fantasy football draft is just a couple of days away. I don't know what I'm going to do. Picking in right slab in the middle of the first round in a snake draft. And boy, is that going to be a tough call. Do I go running back, wide receiver? Who's still going to be there? Ugh, decisions. So bringing on a couple of the best in the biz tonight. Fantasy blowout special here on Chris Thomas tonight, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in Chad Parsons, host of the Under the Helmet Fantasy podcast. Chad, let's start here in our own backyard in Atlanta. Is Bijan Robinson the best available player this year?
I think so. Think about the upside that's being unlocked on this offense with Michael Penix, a more functional passing game. And you look at, where is the ball going to go? If Kyle Pitts is not healthy, he hasn't been in quite some time. So it's a leap of faith to say he will this year. And Bijan Robinson, such a workhorse and such a two-way player that you figure if you're not going Saquon Barkley, Bijan Robinson is definitely the way to go.
Would you even consider, at the back end of the draft, taking a flyer on the potential of a guy like Kyle Pitts?
Oh, absolutely. I think the risk-reward is there. At tight end, it's all about the ceiling. It's all about the highest potential of the player. If you get tight end 7, 8, 9 as your result, it doesn't really matter much. You need a McBride season, a Brock Bowers season, a George Kittle season from last year. That's what you're shooting for, and we saw that from a rookie season, Kyle Pitts. And all reports are things are going well for him, so he has the best chance over the last 2 or 3 years to get back to that level.
All right, let's whip around the league here. How much of a believer are you in Caleb Williams? Do you think he can lead some of those targeted weapons that they have in Chicago to big seasons?
Pretty concerning. I am not a big fan of Caleb Williams when he was coming out. I didn't think he was the best quarterback or even one of the top two guys of that draft class. Jaden Daniels and Drake May were higher for me. And one of my bold calls this year is he's not going to be a 4,000-yard passer and break the curse there for the Bears. So the Ben Johnson love, he's been struggling generally in camp, and I need to believe it to see it, because Jared Goff is the exact opposite type of quarterback. Get the ball out, be part of the system. I always say, be John Stockton to the Carl Malone, distribute the ball on time into the weapons. Caleb Williams kind of wants to be a star. He kind of wants to extend the plays, create some of those circus moments, and that is not what this offense is designed to be, and there's weapons everywhere, but I still think everyone's overrating the Bears.
Sticking in that division, Jordan Love obviously got some help in the first round. What do you think about his chances at quarterback and the weapons in Green Bay?
Yeah, I love Jordan Love. I think that last year, even when he played, he was hampered by injury. And I think that goes lost when a lot of players, they're playing and they're way less than 100%. And it wasn't so much Jordan Love scrambling. It was him extending plays because he loves to go for the deep ball. Now you have a 4-3 wide receiver in the first round. You've got Jordan Love more mobile than before. They were very run heavy last year. So I think you tweak that dial a little bit more towards the pass. You have Jordan Love being able to extend plays and throw deep balls a lot more often. And all of a sudden, he's one of my favorites because he was one of the, not in fantasy, the NFL top quarterbacks to close 2023. And obviously people are down on him now because he had a down year here in 2024, mostly due to A, missed games, and B, being limited when he was playing.
I throw my hands up. I'm the first to admit I was dead wrong on Bo Nix. I thought he was the typical really good college quarterback that just didn't have what it takes to be good in the NFL. Do you buy him from a fantasy perspective this season?
I think the one thing I'm skeptical of is the market has come up to where you're having to draft him in the top 10 quarterbacks. And I think in a draft, you know, once the first 5, 6, 7 go off the board, I think you get to Burrow, you get to Mahomes, you know, they're probably going to be quarterback 5, 6, 7, somewhere in that range. I think you can wait. So the biggest part for me is price. Like, you can wait, get Brock Purdy, wait, get Dak Prescott, Drake May, Jordan Love. I mean, you have so many options when instead of going with quarterback 9 or 10, where, again, most of your league mates already have a guy, I just prefer by that moment in your draft to wait a few more rounds and get other players filling out your lineup. So it's mostly cost. It's not that I'm concerned. Dual threat. You got Sean Payton pulling the puppet strings there and optimizing Bo Nix. So I love the rushing profile. I love that the weapons are getting slightly better with Evan Engram joining the fray this year.
Would you take, if you had the opportunity, Lamar or Josh Allen?
I think you got to go Lamar Jackson. I mean, there was so much that went wrong last year, and you're talking about a guy that had 40-plus touchdowns and 4 interceptions. I thought he was the easy MVP. He didn't get it. I think both guys have kind of a chip on their shoulder for varying reasons, but Lamar Jackson, you know, is still one of those frightening players. It's close, and I think it's funny because, you know, expert leagues, quote-unquote, you know, a lot of times these quarterbacks will last around 3, 4 because everyone plays quarterback chicken. I think in your traditional leagues, these guys will be gone probably in the first 2, 2.5 rounds. And that's more appropriate with the values they add rushing and receiving, rushing and passing.
Either, neither, or both, Kelce and Mahomes have bounced back seasons.
Oh, I'm going to go with both. Big on Mahomes. I think the big plays are going to be back. Actually, news just came out today that we have Rashee Rice probably going to be in the lineup for you and for fantasy drafters in the first 3, 4 weeks. We'll see if that suspension comes. But they're not going to get legal proceedings until the end of September here. So that's a real twist to the timetable. We're going to get full on Mahomes, Rice, Kelce, Worthy, all those great weapons to start the season. So I think people are sleeping on Kelce as well.
Talking with Chad Parsons, make sure you check out Under the Helmet for all of your fantasy football needs. Are you into any setback here for Justin Jefferson or Jordan Addison, who I know is facing the suspension, but with J.J. McCarthy at the helm?
I think a little bit. You know, I think this is a team where they brought in Jordan Mason. They kind of told you what they think, which is we need two backs. Part of that's an Aaron Jones thing. They don't want to make him a workhorse, but they have two functional backs, and just they have a young quarterback where we can say that Sam Darnold was new, but he's been an NFL veteran for quite some time, and they were really able to unleash it. I think it's going to be a lot more play action. I just don't think it's going to be as pass heavy. And so, yeah, I think Jefferson, when you're picking hairs between, say, Ja'Marr Chase. I even like CeeDee Lamb a little bit more this year. Malik Nabers got so much volume last year. There is a real challenge at the top of the wide receiver board. So I think you have to be careful there. And with Addison, he's the number two guy on his team. I always say be skeptical of that number two role outside of the very apex of passing games in the NFL. And you're dealing with a guy that's going to be suspended to start the year. So you put those things together, and Addison, I'm not going to say do not draft, but you got to really get a good deal on him.
What are we doing with Jalen Hurts?
Jalen Hurts, you know, what's funny is all the talk is about Tanner McKee with his great preseason game this past week. But with Jalen Hurts, hey, if the tush push is there, A.J. Brown's there, Devonta Smith is there, the weapons are there, life is good. And I would just say this, that Saquon Barkley, I'm skeptical because he had almost 500 touches last year. He played through early February. That is usually a harbinger of not good things, either an injury, just not having fresh legs and all that the next year for someone like Saquon Barkley. So I would be even more bullish on Jalen Hurts if Barkley were to miss time, because even more focus on Jalen Hurts in the run game, even more possible, you know, inside the 5-yard line rushing attempts and a few more passing touchdowns. So yeah, Hurts there, QB 4 or 5 off the board. I think that's a no brainer if you miss on Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen.
Who do you trust more if you need a second quarterback, Geno Smith or Sam Darnold in their new homes?
Definitely Geno Smith. One of my bold calls for this year is Geno Smith, 30-plus passing touchdowns. I think with Brock Bowers, Jacoby Myers is underrated, and Deontay Thornton, he's going to get a lot of love here. Guy that's a 4-3 guy, fourth-rounder, but it looks like he's going to be a starter with that team. And Geno Smith has always been underrated. He already has a 30-plus touchdown season. He's going super cheap, and when you talk about guys like Stafford or Tua Tagovailoa, even Michael Penix, but basically non-mobile quarterbacks, in the quarterback 20-plus range of cost, Geno Smith is my favorite.
Are you a believer in the Kyler Murray to Maserati Marv connection in year 2?
man, Kyler Murray scares me. I'll just be honest. Like, Marvin Harrison Jr., he had a lot of opportunities last year, and there were overthrows, missed times, all of that. So I don't question the Harrison part of this. I will say the equation, the fantasy equation for both Trey McBride and Marvin Harrison Jr., it's complicated because it means the quarterback needs to be really good, and I'm just skeptical of Kyler Murray. So he might torpedo the whole thing, and that's where my pause button comes in.
Do you have any bust fear potential for Jaden Daniels in year two?
Not so much. I mean, I think he did a lot with a little last year. He's super mobile. He's one of the few guys that can challenge the absolute top of the position for rushing production, and that really pays a lot of bills. They didn't really do a lot in the, you know, to upgrade on Brian Robinson or anything. So I think that Jaden Daniels, while I would rather go with a profile that's done it more like a Hurts or an Allen or a Jackson, even Mahomes, you can only drop him so far. So I think, like, even if he is a quote-unquote disappointment, he's still going to finish in the top 8 to 10 of the position due to the rushing.
A guy who was a fantasy darling a couple of years ago but keeps getting injured is Breece Hall in New York. With Justin Fields there, you figure they're going to be running a lot. Could he be worth looking at a bounce-back year for?
Good news is you don't have to draft him as your running back one. I think that he goes after the top 10 to 12 guys. So the cost is fine. He's got the receiving upside. The one concerning thing I'll mention, and this will be something to note why the preseason actually matters a little bit, is they played Braylon Allen and Isaiah Davis, both impressive running backs last year as rookies. They played them both a decent amount with the first team. So if Breece Hall isn't a workhorse back, if he isn't a high market share of the backfield guy, that's really concerning because I like guys in a similar range, like James Cook just got a new contract. You got Kenneth Walker, who I really like, Alvin Kamara, James Conner. So there's a bunch of options in that range. And so part of me is just, I don't think you have to take the risk of Breece Hall unless he falls to running back 15 to 20.
When you look at the state of the Pittsburgh Steelers, do you think DK Metcalf is enough to make Aaron Rodgers a viable offense to choose from in fantasy?
It's tough. It's tough. The one big call I have with the Steelers is that Jalen Warren is going to be the play. I think about Aaron Rodgers. I think, who's he going to trust? And I don't think it's going to be a rookie Caleb Johnson in the backfield. And so I think Jalen Warren is going far too cheap among the running backs. It's outside the top 30, which basically means they don't even really view him as a starting running back in fantasy terms, which I think is a mistake. But yeah, DK Metcalf, I mean, he's going to finish in the top 24 almost by attrition. They don't really have much in wide receiver two, wide receiver three. So they have two or three tight ends. But yeah, DK Metcalf, I think, is going to enjoy some of the best, you know, back shoulder throws and deep targets that he's had in quite some time.
A guy we're keeping our eye on here in Atlanta, a hometown kid, played for UGA, Ladd McConkey with the Chargers. He came in last season and torched the Falcons. Is he primed for a breakout year?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people say he broke out last year. I think there's even more upside, you know, and that you look at what he was able to do. Mostly it's the durability part because he was absolutely peppered. He was basically a better case of Khalil Shakir there in Buffalo, similar type player, but you saw much more upside from McConkey. So those guys that produce at that level with that efficiency on a per-route basis as rookies, and especially impressive, is it's not like he was a top 5 or 10 pick in the draft. So he did this when the NFL generally said, you're not really worth a first-round pick, goes early second, and those guys typically, again, are lock and load. Like, the floor is so high, and top 5 is on the table, you know, for those types of profiles entering year two.
Does the quarterback situation in Indy sink the value of Jonathan Taylor?
I'm really concerned, and the main part is I just don't think he's going to get a lot of receiving game work. Unfortunately, they have Tyler Goodson, who they use a good amount in that capacity, and so the ancillary running back, they take Jonathan Taylor off the field, and then you have two quarterbacks and a system that is not generally focused on running backs in the passing game. Anthony Richardson has actually been one of the lowest in terms of running back percent targets, you know, in terms of their overall passing volume. So very concerning there. And we just, you know, this could be a dead man walking coach situation. This could be a team, you know, drawing dead essentially by midseason. So it's pretty concerning from a floor standpoint, even though Taylor's one of my favorite running backs to watch. It's just not a great situation.
Before I let you go, would you touch anybody on Miami's offense?
I think you have to. I think you have to touch Tyreek Hill with the price he's going at. I mean, again, you can get him as your wide receiver too. And I think that kind of upside, the one risk here, and it might not be a risk, and that actually might end up being good news, is Miami might be in the tank by midseason. And if things go wrong and we see tea leaves that it could be going that way, Is he someone that he should be on the block? He should be going to a contender. You say, does he walk into a wide receiver one situation, or is it ambiguous? So that's my one concern if Miami is actually a poor team and they end up selling off pieces. But I think both Jalen Waddle outside the top 30, and then you've got Tyreek Hill, you can probably get him as your wide receiver too. I think they're both appropriately priced. And Devon Achane, I would just mention, the guy's a workhorse despite being subsized. He sees so many targets. Miami doesn't even have to be good, and we saw that last year, for him to be an elite fantasy option, which he's actually, I think you were talking about the mid-first or later first draft position. He's a really good one if you end up missing out and you don't want to take a shot, say, on Christian McCaffrey or someone like that. Devon Achane, and maybe even wrapping around to round two, is one of my favorite running back picks.
Chad, great stuff. Appreciate it. We'll check you out under the helmet, and we'll be listening. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Go Falcons.
All right. That is Chad Parsons there. Hit him up at Chad Parsons NFL. A little Go Falcons there at the end. That's a way to butter me up if you want to come on and be a recurring guest on the show. All right, Chad. Good job. All right, 404-726-0929. Oren, I put up a question on Twitter. Got a lot of feedback. I'll tell you what it is next, and we'll respond. I'll read through some of these comments as we wrap up shop here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Chris Thomas tonight. I put out a tweet earlier today. I was at home doing some prep for the show, and it's simple. It's a simple question, and I put it out there on Twitter, and I got a lot of responses. You can go find the question and contribute at C Thomas Radio, or you can give, I got a couple of minutes here. You can call the show, 404-726-0929. Not playing Michael Penix Jr. in the preseason would be a mistake by the Falcons. Agree or disagree? 404-726-0929. Not playing Michael Penix Jr. in the preseason would be a mistake by the Falcons. Agree or disagree? I'll take a couple calls at 404-726-0929. Also going to read some of your responses here. Our buddy Garrett Chapman chimes in. He says he disagrees. Our buddy Kareem says, even if they did play him, he wouldn't get more than three possessions. That's not going to make a difference in his development. Kareem, I kind of disagree. I'm not going to lie, man. Live bullets at this stage of his career are valuable. He's only had three starts in the NFL, y'all. Like, I think we keep blowing past that fact, and because he looks so good and we think he's going to be so good, he's only started three games. That's not a lot. That's not a representative sample size to know what's going on fully. Again, not playing Michael Penix Jr. in the preseason would be a mistake by the Falcons. Do you agree or disagree? 404-726-0929. DC chimes in. He says, we can just lose a few regular season games to get the offense in sync. Typical. That's funny because that's sly right there from DC. But he says essentially what happened last year, which was the offense wasn't ready. Kirk wasn't 100%. We didn't know that at the time. And you came out and you lost to the Steelers, who threw almost zero passes with Justin Fields and beat you on six Chris Boswell field goals. I mean, that's what we're looking at here. So we've seen this happen before where you don't get any run. The two joint practices are really the only thing you have to go off of. And the work, obviously, good on good in training camp. But against other competition with guys trying to take your block off, you essentially just finished up. The preseason for Michael Penix Jr. is essentially over. Is that a big deal? Do you care? Is that something that needs to be addressed by Ra and his staff? Do they have the wrong approach? Not playing Michael Penix Jr. in the preseason would be a mistake by the Falcons. Agree or disagree? 404-726-0929. I mean, a little run. Just a little bit. Tell me it doesn't make a difference to face live bullets. I absolutely do. Let's start with Ronnie on the line. Ronnie, what do you think? Agree or disagree?
I definitely think it's a mistake. They should have learned from Kirk Cousins last year with the brand new everything, new coach, new quarterback, new system, new players. Just need to gel and hear the call in a live game action, relay the call, line up, see everything in live action, even if it is two or three series. You just can't replace that. And live games that count is not where you should start learning where that how that flows. It's just the flow of the game.
Yep.
That you can get into with the preseason.
Ronnie, that is a great call to start it off. I agree with every single thing you just said. You cannot replicate it. Again, even if it's just for a couple of series, just to get that feeling back out there of, he said, things we don't even think about, right? Getting the calls in from the sideline. Oh, you guys remember that last year, Orin? Getting the calls in from the sideline was a problem last year. Timeouts, that was a problem. So much so that Arthur Blank sent a missive out this offseason, said, yo, clean that up, okay? Come on now. 404-726-0929. Let's see what David thinks. David, do you agree or disagree? Not playing Michael Penix Jr. in the preseason would be a mistake.
I think you got to play him some, as what the previous caller mentioned. And here's something completely counterintuitive, but statistically valid. The league office released some information not too long ago. Teams that play their starters in the preseason have a reduced frequency of injuries in the first four or five regular season games. That, to me, that makes no sense, but the numbers are the numbers. There's no duplicating live football, the crowd, the environment, the preparation, all that. You need to get some of that out of the way before you have to go in, because if the other team's done it and you haven't, you're playing cold from a jump start, and they're not, and you only have a handful of possessions every game, and if you're going to throw a few of those away just to get warmed up, you're at a disadvantage.
David, you know why that's a really good call, and that's really good information you just gave? Because, again, you can't replicate game speed. Joint practices, I don't care. That's not 100% game speed. It's just not. I've seen it in person. It's not 100% game speed. It's close. It's not 100% game speed. So if you don't play at all in the preseason and you go to make that first real cut, that first real move, David's right. You know how much more likely you are to pull a hammy or pull a quad when you haven't gone that speed before, or you've just tried to replicate it as much you can in practice or in a joint practice or a scrimmage. It's not the same as being out there on the field when that full adrenaline is coursing through your veins like it does on a Sunday at 1 o'clock. Griffin's up next. Griffin, what do you think? Agree or disagree?
I agree, man. I think that you got to play him. And I also think, like, you know, for a young quarterback, boost his confidence. Let him go out there and throw 50 touchdowns on a second-string defense and really just tighten up that confidence part of the game where you know you can go out there and do it. You know, because, again, I think if you let the second-string defense go against Penix for a couple of games, he's going to get that feeling of, I can throw a touchdown pass, I can move around, I can carve these defenses up. And I think that's really important, too, for a new quarterback to have that confidence going into week one.
Yeah, Griffin, it's a great call. Appreciate it. 404-726-0929. You know what I just saw on NFL Network, O? You know who's starting this weekend? Baker Mayfield. Does he need preseason work? Coming off a career year, 40 touchdowns and, you know, 4,500 yards passing? No, he doesn't need it. But you know what it is? A good way to get ready for the season. It just is. 404-726-0929. Daniel's up next. Daniel, go ahead.
Yeah, man, I completely agree with you, man. It's we've been sold this lie past like five seasons in a row, I feel like. And it's never panned out the way that the coaches presented. Absolutely, like you're saying, and there's nothing that can replace live bullets. Especially when you're talking about the quarterback position. There's so much to think about and to process on a game day. Like, I mean, if you look at a guy like Kirk last year, I think it would have done him a lot of good to gone out there and, you know, had a couple series, because you could tell our offense started slow. And, yeah, I'm just tired. I'm tired of that line of crap where, oh, you know, we had these team practices and that somehow simulates gameplay. I don't believe it.
No, that's a great call. I appreciate it. 404-726-0929. I agree, man. There's the cliche, there's levels to this. There are. There's levels. There's levels to a practice. There's levels to a joint practice. There's levels to a scrimmage. There's levels to team one-on-ones. There's levels to 11-on-11. There's levels to a preseason game, and there's levels to regular season action. Let's finish up on the phones with Chico. Chico, what do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree with your previous callers. You know, I mean, there's a saying, scared money don't make money.
Yep.
You know, I mean, put them in there. You know, one of the number one complaints, for lack of a better word, was his accuracy. You know, how much better his accuracy would be if he were, you know, playing in preseason games, you know, and it's all about timing, timing, timing. And how you going to get that timing down if you're not playing, man? You know, put them in there.
No, Chico, you're again, I think everybody who's called, I'm surprised, or I don't think anybody disagreed. I think every single person that just called in unprompted just said put him in the game, which I get it. It's a relatively small sample size, but that's everybody who just called. Not one person said don't put him in. I know our buddy Garrett Chapman disagrees. There's a couple people that have weighed in. If you can't get through on the phones, hit me up on Twitter at C Thomas Radio, and that's where the question is. Not playing Michael Penix Jr. in the preseason would be a mistake by the Falcons. Agree or disagree? There's been a lot more people that disagree on the poll than there is that called in, obviously, because that number is 0-404-726-0929. Let's see, a couple more comments here before we get to break. Adam says he couldn't agree more. Haynes King for Heisman. I like that Twitter handle right there. He says agree 1,000,000%. But Todrick, Danimal Black, Mr. Yo, Garrett, they all voted to disagree. So it's not like there's nobody out there, but the overwhelming majority of the people that called in and the people that voted said, give him a little run. Like Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow, Pat Mahomes, all these dudes playing in the preseason. And a lot of those teams are projected to be pretty good in 2025. And like a couple of our callers said, like, it's not like this model, Orin, if this model worked, I could see sticking to it. But it hasn't worked, and that's the problem. So I'm just not entirely sure, you know, I ask Orin all the time, what's the definition of insanity? It's repeating the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And maybe, you know, giving these guys just, again, we're not talking about playing a half. We're not talking about playing an entire game. We're talking about getting the rust off, facing live competition, getting the calls, dealing with timeouts, dealing with in-game situations that are just not the same if you're not in a real game. 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Give me a call if you didn't get a chance to get in. We'll take more of your calls. We'll also hear from Joe Patrick. He joined us earlier in the show talking all things Falcons and Titans. We're handing it off to Corky Kell Classic coverage coming up in just a little bit on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.